It's MRCTV's public service announcement with Brittany Hughes and Eric Shiner.
Welcome to the MRCTV podcast. I'm Eric Shiner. Brittany Hughes continues that maternity leave, but here with me to talk about the five states most aggressively dangerous to gun rights is none other than MRCTV's Gardner Goldsmith. Gardner, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you. I'm honored, Captain. Good to talk to you.
It's good to have you here. Now, obviously, gun rights is something for anyone that has followed the MRCTV website, the MRCTV YouTube channel, you would know that gun rights is something Gardner follows very, very closely. And it's really good to have him here with us to take a list of what he thinks are the five states that are most aggressively dangerous to gun rights and gun ownership. So let's start off right away. What is number five, Gardner?
Okay, going from not quite as bad to the absolute worst, and there are plenty of others that we could mention, but the lowest of the top five is the wonderful state of Hawaii.
And yes. You recently did a story on Hawaii.
Indeed, indeed. Hawaii, the Aloha state, is saying goodbye to many rights, because I know Aloha means hello and goodbye, correct?
Correct.
In fact, they always talk about guns. Well, if you want to go hunting, it's perfectly fine. They're hunting people's rights. That's what they're doing, from Hawaii all over into the United States.
And we're talking like predator-style hunting. Where, you know,
yeah.
It's like, get to the choppa. Get out of Hawaii. Get out now. Get to the choppa.
Get to the choppa. Exactly right. Exactly. And Hawaii is just, as they say, it is a mess. The state itself long ago banned firearms for people under 21 years of age. And this recent story that I released through MRCTV and on which I did a video reveals that they just recently executed two laws. The governor allowed these laws to become executable statutes and is now going to execute the actual laws and have police go after people. One was called SB 600, and that actually prohibits out-of-state visitors from bringing in firearms. And if you are under 21 years of age and you are visiting the state of Hawaii, you also can't bring in a firearm. So that means essentially anybody who is under 21 years of age, despite the fact that you could go into the military and fight for the defense of Hawaii, you are now banned from executing your right to keep and bear arms.
Right. So the only way you would actually be familiar with the firearm once you join the military is the training you receive in the military.
Yeah, that's the only way it would happen. And, of course, for all of these states, we should mention this is a fundamental right. All of these little areas where they're cutting into the fundamental right, every instance, whether it's a 21-year-old or an 18-year-old, they don't have the power to do this. They are strictly forbidden from doing this by the Second Amendment. So as we go through these things, it becomes very important to remind oneself that as we look at these little nuances and little additional cuts of the death of a thousand cuts that they keep adding, every single one of them is not warranted for any politician in any state to do. It's a flagrant abuse of their power, which they don't even have in the first place. It's absolutely disgusting. They also instituted a red flag statute in Hawaii, and it is one of numerous states that have instituted red flag statutes, as I mentioned in my video. And a red flag statute is essentially you don't have to be charged with any sort of crime. You don't have to have been convicted of anything.
All someone has to do is report you as they think you're a danger.
Exactly. And you can't even appear in court. This is an instance that breaches so many passages of the Bill of Rights, from the Second Amendment to the Fourth Amendment to the Sixth Amendment to the Eighth Amendment. You don't get any sort of appearance in front of a jury. You don't have a timely trial. You can't face your accuser. There is no crime. There is absolutely punishment without any sort of due process. And, of course, they're going after people's guns.
Okay,
they're doing this all over the place.
They're doing this. One of the things that really sticks out to me when we look at the state of Hawaii, you know, most people assume you have a right. It's an inherent right. You can just use that right until you've proven you can't handle it effectively. Not so in Hawaii. If you want, even if you're over 21 and you want to own a gun, you have to prove that you have good cause to get a permit.
Yes.
You have to have a good cause. They may, maybe the overlords of Hawaii, who don't get to the chopper, will issue a permit.
Yeah, you know, I don't think Steve McGarrett of Hawaii 5-0 would actually enforce any of these laws. Hawaii is what they call a may-issue state, which really means it's a may-not-issue state. It means that the politicians and the bureaucrats can decide anytime whether or not you reach their standard, whether, in their opinion, you deserve to be able to execute your right to keep and bear arms for self-defense. If you can't execute that fundamental right, then you have no right to life, which is the primary right. If you can't defend your life, then you have no inherent right to life. It's just amazing. The citizens have to show good cause, and of course, the politicians will decide if that's good enough. And Hawaii also has a ban on magazines with a capacity of 10 or more rounds, and they don't recognize out-of-state licenses. So that is another breach of the Constitution, as I mentioned in my video. If they don't recognize out-of-state licenses, which many states do not, that means they're breaching the full faith and credit clause of the U.S. Constitution, which requires that any legal document that is recognized as legal in one state must be recognized as legal in every state. So therefore, if you are given a license, and you shouldn't even have to get a license from one state to carry a firearm, it is supposed to be recognized in every state. As I mentioned before, that's why people can drive in other states. That's why they can rent cars in other states. Because in other states, if you've got a driver's license from state A, you can use it in state B.
Now, a lot of people won't be able to take Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's train over to Hawaii, since we won't be able to fly there in the future. So they're thinking maybe we're safe from these aggressive states and that are going after our gun rights. But no, lo and behold, the cradle of the American Revolution, one of those states, is attacking gun owners' rights, and they come up on your list as number four.
Yes, indeed. Lovely Massachusetts, the cradle of liberty, where Lexington and Concord were defended by people with firearms because the Brits were coming after their firearms, has decided instead to follow the line of the redcoats and go after people's guns. Massachusetts is number four on my list of the top five worst states in the country, and it is deservedly at that position. Massachusetts requires a license to possess or purchase all guns and ammunition. It is a may-issue state, just like Hawaii, which means, again, it's a may-not-issue state. Semi-automatic firearms are banned, and they've been banned since 2016 there. And let's see. Oh, that's right. For concealed carry and open carry, these are determined by localities, and most of the localities won't issue concealed carry or open carry permits. So you could possibly own a gun, but you could never bring it out of your house. Now, most of the permits actually go to retired cops, they go to judges, and they go to private investigators. Wow, no kidding. If you're connected with the political system,
right,
then you'll get possessed.
If you're connected with the state, then you get you get those privileges to exercise your rights. But if you're not, well...
Yes, absolutely, Eric. Non-residents, if they want to bring a gun into the state, if they're staying over or visiting, they might have to meet, and this is just the option that, according to the state website, is listed on the state website.
Wait. So hold on. They might have to meet with someone according to the state website?
Yes, they might have to meet with an authority according to the Massachusetts website if they want to bring a gun into the state.
And that's a quote, meet with an authority. That's straight from
the
website.
Yes, that is a quote, meet with an authority.
And I'm sure that's going to be convenient for those that are visiting, you know, to make that time schedule and carve that time out to make sure they meet with the Massachusetts authority.
Absolutely. And you got to love their amorphous language. Like, what authority? The crossing guard? Who do I have to see? You know?
Can I just King George is back.
Taker? Yeah, exactly. You see people waving guns at the port authority or something. Hey, I got my gun. Can I come in? It's stupid. It's ridiculous. It's also a red flag state, of course, which I think is almost appropriate. All I need to add is a hammer and sickle, and the red flag states are all set. You know, I'm just thinking maybe they could just get a little more in there, and they'll be just like the Soviet Union. Massachusetts also requires a license to buy ammunition and firearms. So literally, if you want to buy ammunition, you have to be licensed to get rounds. And it's called an FOID card, Firearm Identification Card. And I looked at it and I said, well, what's the O? What's F?
The O is, oh, crap, somebody's stepping on my rights again. That's what the O is for.
Oh, no. And, yeah, since it's a red flag bill, you know the story there. I wrote about this for MRC TV about a year ago. There was a politician there who had all these ridiculous ideas. And essentially, again, you can have someone make a reckless accusation about you, and the state can move forward. So if you have any political enemies and they want to go after you, they can go after you in this red flag state, and you have no options to be able to be heard within the jurisprudential system. It's just amazing how they're skirting so many facets of what the Founding Fathers actually put forward. This in the very state that had Lexington and Concord defending the firearms.
Okay, but it's time now, though. It's time now to go from the East Coast to the left coast. So let's get into our chauffeured car driven by the Chinese informant. Oh, I'm sorry, that's Senator Dianne Feinstein's car. But we have to drive over to California, which actually is number three on your list. I thought for sure California would end up number one, but you have it at number three. Tell us why.
Yeah, it's in the middle of the pack here. And California, I almost moved it a little bit higher just because California's been getting on my nerves so much recently. But, you know,
gotta love that Governor Newsom.
I know, you know, and I try to take a positive approach to life here, but this is really bad. And the interesting thing about this, Eric, is I've mentioned some of this information to some people, and they don't care. I just sit there and I say, look, this is like a train full of crimes going by you, and you're turning away. You're averting your gaze. You've got to look at what's going on here. California.
Well, it's because a lot of those people support restrictions on guns. They don't believe in gun rights. They don't own a gun. They don't understand guns. They don't hunt. They don't go shooting. They don't feel that they need to be able to protect themselves until, you know, they find out it's too late. We can get to a stat later that unlawful gun owners commit 80% of gun crimes.
Yeah. Gee, what a shocker.
These people, they want to ignore it. They don't want to address the issue because, you know, oh, well, you know, it's something I agree with, so therefore it doesn't matter if it breaks constitutional law and puts restrictions on somebody else.
Yeah, and, you know, far be it from me to appeal to anybody's sense of feeling special or anything like that. You want to try to avoid that. But there is that term, the remnant, where there is a certain percentage of the population who do care about these issues, and they will always care about these issues, and they care about right and wrong, and they care about ethics, and they respect their neighbor's rights. That this is a small cadre. It goes back to biblical times, this idea of the remnant that you're preaching to people who actually will get it. And you just know that there are a lot of people who won't, but you continue to try to explain it to people, because there still could be some people who might catch on and might find this important. And
the
you don't want to sound like an
elitist. That you can change their mind. The few people
you put the info out. And that's what MRC TV has been doing. And it's terrific that so many people have responded to what we've been offering about this information. So now, California here, California, it's just amazing. California, you can only buy through licensed dealers that are permitted. They ban the private sales of guns. People can only obtain guns after a 10-day waiting period. Only people over 21 may legally own firearms, and they have a few exceptions. Luckily, of course, if you're in the military, you can get involved with possibly, you know, carrying a firearm to train. California doesn't require a state permit, which is what moved it a little bit higher in the list of not quite as bad, or lower on the list of not quite as good. They concealed carry weapons, well, they're handled locally. It's a shall issue basis. Now, there is a difference between shall issue and may issue. So shall issue is that the state must issue a permit. The question is the length of time, because often in shall issue states, the states will delay and delay and delay. So right. That's one of the problems with that, just on a technical basis. And let's see. Oh, they recently imposed Proposition 63. And Proposition 63 means that anybody who wants to buy ammunition has to go through the National Criminal Background Check system.
They treat you like a criminal for exercising your right.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely right. It's just incredible. You're presumed guilty. I mean, it's what they're doing on a national level to Donald Trump. You're presumed guilty before found innocent.
And, of course, there's plenty of places in California, too, where you can be an illegal alien and get a driver's license.
Yeah.
That's okay. Yeah. But, yeah, oh, boy, an actual U.S. citizen, buying ammo, we have to do a background check and do we have to get a lot of information and fingerprint it and gather the information on them.
Yep, absolutely. In California, they now have another red flag statute. The Assembly Bill 1329 bans anyone convicted of a misdemeanor domestic violence or battery charge against a spouse or cohabitant. So this is something where even though they have released you, and it could have been a misdemeanor, you will now be unable to exercise your right to keep and bear arms. So they've deemed you safe enough to be out in society. They're not holding you in jail. You've been released. It's a misdemeanor, but now you can't hold a firearm. It's not a felony conviction, And this is one of the major problems with the justice system in the United States, virtually all over the place in the West. They can't control the number of people who are put into prison. So when they release people, they say, oh, well, we're releasing you. So they're clearly deeming people safe enough to put back into society. And yet they're saying, but you're not safe enough for you to legally own a firearm. Well, first of all, we know that if somebody has criminal intent, as you mentioned, people with criminal intent are the ones who are going to commit the crimes and breach the gun laws anyway.
Yeah, to the tune of 80%.
Exactly. This is just absurdist thinking.
80% of gun crimes are done by unlawful gun owners. And that's from 2016.
Yeah, exactly.
That study's not that old.
No, it's not that old. Of course, you don't hear too much about it, but I was able to find that and put it into one of my pieces. This is one of the things that drives me crazy, is this information is out there, and yet, again, it's the remnant. We are talking to a very small portion of people.
Well, the mainstream media is never going to bring any attention to this. No. It goes against the leftist agenda. Come on.
Yes, absolutely. And thank goodness for you and everybody at MRC TV who are dedicated to these things. I know how hard you guys are working in the offices right now, and you're covering so many different things. I'm glad we're getting to cover this. Do you want me to go on to the next?
Yeah, let's go to number two. We're going back to the East Coast, and this is a state where, you're not even trusted to pump your own gas, so...
Indeed.
If you can't pump your own gas, I guess they think you can't handle a gun.
No way. Anything that is gun-shaped, I do believe.
Including Pop-Tarts.
They will try to control you. Well, yeah. if Kellogg's had been smart and wanted to really get on people, they would have released gun-shaped Pop-Tarts.
Oh, I totally would have had a box at my desk every day. Every day I'd eat that.
It would have been awesome. Yes. The next state, the second worst state in the union, is New Jersey. And I almost put it at number one, but it's really bad. It's a cesspool there for people's rights. Here is a little bit of information for anybody who's interested. If you're from the New Jersey area, you're probably aware of this. If you're, again, one of these people in the remnant, then you'll be watching these sorts of things. But if you're outside New Jersey, look at how bad this state is. Okay. Citizens and residents have to obtain a permit to carry a gun at all, whether it's an open or concealed carry. Again, so that means that if you want to bring the gun outside your home, you have to go to agents of the state
and
get permission.
Yeah.
Do you think the revolutionaries had to say to themselves, gee, I'd really like to bring my gun outside. Maybe I should go to the British and get permission. I mean, it is absolutely infuriating. And it's all part of this dumb postmodernist collectivist mentality that somehow the collective is somehow made safer by infringing on the rights of everyone, every individual that comprises the so-called collective. Because the name, the word group is just a word that's applied to individuals. We're all individuals, and we retain our sovereign individualism even when we voluntarily congregate with people, and the word group is applied to it. It's just a group of people. It's always reduced to that. So they say they're going to protect the group by attacking every individual's rights within the group. It's absolutely vile. Check this out. The state does issue more permits than Hawaii, but I noted something. There's an interesting website, and I had heard about the folks before, Jews for the Preservation of Firearm Ownership. And a guy named Dean Weingarten had a piece on there, and he said that the permits, again, just like Massachusetts, they mostly go to retired judges, cops, and people with political connections. And who would think that there would be people politically connected in New Jersey?
So garbage men. They have a lot of they have the permits. One thing that has to be mentioned, though, that has been funny that struck me about New Jersey was the fact that for a while they also had BB guns, Daisy BB guns, categorized as assault weapons.
Oh man, this is great. Okay, yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up. So check this out. So New Jersey, for a while, they defined 22 caliber hunting rifles that could take a magazine as semi-automatic weapons, and they banned them. And they also defined the Daisy BB gun as an assault weapon. I mean, I suppose if you're a squirrel, you might look at it that way. But, yeah, they banned them. They banned them. That has since changed.
What kills me is so many of these anti-gun measures, both on a state and a federal level, seem to be proposed and written by lawmakers who I have to assume have never even picked up and fired a firearm in their lives.
I don't even know if they picked up a Pop-Tart. They probably stick the fork into the toaster. It's ridiculous. Oh, yeah, yeah. New Jersey, it's just such a classic example of clownish, opportunistic policymaking. And again, when I say policymaking, it's very important that I remind people, you know, they use terms like lawmakers when they talk about the legislators and the politicians. They're not lawmakers. There's a clear distinction between natural law and statute. That's why when people read my writing, I often use the word statute rather than law, because I'm trying to show people the distinction between the concept of the natural law given by God, recognized by people like John Locke and Thomas Aquinas over millennia, and statute written by the state. Once people start to consider politicians to be the lawmakers, it endows them with this special power that they're not supposed to have, which is one of the reasons why the Bill of Rights was written, to make sure that people recognize that they can't write every law that they want. They can't just make laws. They write statutes, state orders and mandates, fiats. Now, supposedly the state is there to protect us and our rights from encroachments by others. But these states are clear examples of just how false that notion is.
Yeah, the opposite's happening.
Precisely.
In so
Eric,
many of these
precisely.
Cases. And let's talk, let's wrap up New Jersey here, though. Some of their things, you can't get ammo without a license.
No, you have to be licensed
to sell a gun. No gun sales to anyone under 18.
Yep, background checks for everybody. And, of course, they don't recognize licenses for guns from other states, and they have a mandated 7-day waiting period. So if you're a very worried woman and you've had somebody threatening you, and this has happened in the past, women have tried to get those wonderful pieces of paper called restraining orders against guys who have threatened them. They've tried to get guns, but they've had to wait to get the guns, and they've been killed.
And of course, with these red flag states, all it takes is if there's a case of spousal abuse or something of that nature, the spouse just has to say, "Oh, well, you know, she threatened me with a gun, and her gun's taken away."
Yeah, yeah, absolutely right.
These red flag laws work both ways.
Yeah, and if somebody really has criminal intent, the red flag law isn't going to do anything.
No.
It's not going to stop anybody because they're already, as we said, they're already intent on committing crimes. They've already made that weighted decision. And their calculation is, I'm going to commit a crime, so now, in order to facilitate the crime I want to commit, I have no problem committing another crime. I'm going to get the firearm. It's in their best interest. It's absolutely ridiculous. New Jersey, it's no wonder so many people have been moving out of New Jersey, as I wrote for MRC TV.
Yeah, aren't they like the number one or number two state in the nation?
Yeah, last year, 2018, it was the top state for resident flight, according to the moving companies.
Yeah.
It's incredible. I think it's pretty neat that those people actually keep track.
All right, so we got to do a drum roll now. Drum roll, drum roll,
drum
for
roll
number one, the number
21
one
gun
state.
Salute. Here it is. Yes, the number one worst state for gun rights of the top five, and there are some, I guess we'll say, runners up. The number one state is New York State. Yes, Andrew Cuomo and the gang, they are the worst state. And I have to say, Michael Bloomberg's legacy there is definitely being seen. You know, he started this giant anti-gun organization.
Moms Against Guns. And
He's just everywhere, this guy. And he's got the money. He's been spending tons of money on these organizations. And, of course, Cuomo is just insultingly, infuriatingly anti-rights for life, for gun rights, everything like that. And so here's the deal. First, not only is it now a red flag state, and not only does the state constitution, just like New Jersey and four other states, not have a provision telling the state to be hands-off gun rights, which you shouldn't even need it because of the Second Amendment, but at least most of the states actually have that in their constitution. Check this out. In 2013, the state passed the so-called SAFE Act, which was the Secure Ammunition and Firearms Enforcement Act. At least they can use the letters properly as opposed to Massachusetts. When they passed this thing, it hasn't made the state any safer. It requires anyone who wants to own a gun to get a permit that they have to renew every 5 years.
I'm sure there's a cost involved for that as well.
You got it. Right. And the state requires all purchases to go through a licensed dealer. They have banned magazines of 7 rounds or bigger. 7 rounds. Now, according to the internal documents, you can have a magazine that can take more than 7 rounds, but get the absurdity of this, you can't put more than 7 rounds in the magazine.
So if you have a 10-round magazine, you better have 3 blank spaces.
Yeah, exactly. Geez. So how do they check that?
That's what I want to know. How are they checking
that? Imagine, Eric, a police officer pulls you over. Sir, you got 8 rounds in that. Oh, wait, hold on just a minute. Okay, now I got 7. Am I good? It's just, right? I mean, and I'm not saying he's pointing it at the cops. Nobody get me wrong. Okay, so the state requires all purchases to go through a licensed dealer, again. So this is an instance where if you've got a firearm, like we saw in New York State where I did the story about this man who was living alone and had inherited a gun and then shot 2 home invaders who had already invaded his home once and the cops didn't do anything. Now he's not in trouble for shooting them. He's in trouble for having a gun that was an illegal gun. And as I mentioned before, the very term illegal gun should set off all sorts of red flags for a lot of people, because there should be no such term as illegal gun in the United States of America. You have a right to self-defense, and if you ever hear that, that should also set off some bells about statute versus natural law.
And it was illegal in this in the case that you're mentioning because he inherited it from his father.
Yes,
who passed
exactly
away.
He inherited the gun and he used it for his own defense, which is probably one of the reasons why somebody might pass on a gun, not just as an heirloom to put up and look nice someplace as some, you know, antique gun, but to say, hey, you know what? I care about you. I want you to be safe in the future. When I die, you will receive this as part of my legacy. And he kept himself alive because of what was given to him by someone who loved him. It boggles my mind. Also, New York State, the state requires all those purchases to go through licensed dealers. You can't have the mags of 7 rounds or more. Semi-automatics are banned. Well, we don't know about those semi-automatic BB guns, of course, though. Background checks are mandatory. The state has this amorphous safe storage requirement for personal firearms and ammunition. And, of course, now that means that the politicians are telling people where and how they will store their guns.
That's really offensive.
No, it's absolutely.
I mean, not only is it infringing your right, but now they're going to tell you how you can keep it, how you can keep it in your own home.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that is a very subtle breach of the Fourth Amendment. That is the way that they can say, look, we're not actually going into your house right now, but we're going to write laws about what happens in your house. And if we happen to have another reason to go in there, and then we see this, then we're going to get you. I mean, it's like playing with evil clowns. It's terrible. Then they also have ammunition sellers have to be registered with the state, and like in California, all purchases require a background check for ammunition.
Right. Yeah.
Now, do they really think that criminals are going to be bothered to pick these things up if they know that they're going to have to go through a background check? There's going to be a black market for ammunition. I mean, that's what everybody knows, that prohibition doesn't work. When there is a demand for something, if you try to put the barriers up, it's like water. It just flows around. It's like when Princess Leia was talking to Grand Moff Tarkin. The tighter you squeeze your fingers, the more star systems will slip through them. You can't stop the flow.
I'm impressed you got a Star Wars reference in here.
Yeah, well, there you go. My sixth grade science teacher was Peter Cushing's cousin. She looked just like Peter Cushing. She was awesome. So also, New York made many gun offenses that used to be misdemeanors, and they turn them into felonies. And not only are they felonies, they're Category E felonies, which means you can go to prison between 2 and 5 years for what used to be misdemeanors. Also, the state concealed carry permits are not valid in the city of New York. And I couldn't even understand this when I was doing the research on it. New York City doesn't recognize state concealed carry permits. And 43. Yeah, yeah.
So a city can ignore state law.
Yeah. I don't understand it. It's totally nuts. New York City has its own concealed carry weapons permit statutes. And for some reason, and I don't understand how, they somehow think that they supersede the state laws and that these also supersede the Second Amendment of the stinking Constitution. The funny thing about this is that people might not recognize this, but I was doing some research on it. 43% of the population of the state of New York lives in New York City. So that means that 43% of the population of the state don't even get to have the state laws applied to them for their concealed carry weapons laws. And I hope that makes sense to people.
It doesn't make any sense, but yeah.
Exactly.
You have almost half the people, half the population of the state concentrated in one area, and the state law doesn't apply to them. As far as protecting the rights to any degree.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, their rights are assaulted. We are just about out of time. Couple states, if you don't live in these top five states and you think things are going well for you, you have some quick honorable mentions, and they are?
Oh, boy. All right. The list of dishonorable mention, Colorado, where, as we know, many of the sheriffs there will not enforce their new red flag law statute, and Washington State, which is the same. Many of the sheriffs there are also not going to enforce the red flag statute. Delaware, just an absolute mess. Washington, D.C., and the creme de la creme, where, of course, the nation's most beautiful city is located, Illinois, home of Chicago, where everybody knows crime has been stopped.
Every weekend, Nick Kangottis does a roundup of the victims of gunshots and gun violence in Chicago, where, you know, you can't have a gun.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody knows when the government institutes a ban, we know that those things will no longer be there, right? Absolutely. Chicago has shown us. It's beautiful. You know, I know Chicago's a beautiful city. Last time I was there for Lollapalooza on their 20th anniversary. It was wonderful. I'm glad I didn't stay longer to see how bad that city has become. It's a real shame.
Well, we are out of time on the MRC TV podcast. Gardner Goldsmith, thank you for joining us. We appreciate the time. We could talk about this for quite some time if we could do a top 10, but we'd be here pretty much all day, I think.
I think we would. It's big stuff. And thanks, Eric. I appreciate being able to sound off about these things and get the information out. This is obviously very important. And there's so many other things we could talk about with some of these other states. It's people have to be vigilant. They've got to look at what's going on, not only in their state, but in other states, and sound off about some of these terrible politicians and what they've been doing.
All right. Well, we'd like to thank Gardner Goldsmith for being with us, and we'd like to thank you, the audience, for tuning in. You can download some past MRC TV podcasts on iTunes, Google Play, or Spotify. Until next week, we'll see you then.